I shared a little bit about prayer last week, and we moved in that over the course of the week. It was really encouraging just to see the way that you guys took up that call and responded to that. Tonight, I want to talk about something that's sort of stepping back a bit, zooming out a little bit. I was thinking about some of the other areas of spiritual discipline that we could cover in this time over the next few weeks. I was originally planning to talk about just some of the ways we can study the Word more effectively, but I felt like the Lord said that if we focus on the disciplines, but we don't focus on the bigger picture of relationship with God, then we can actually participate in so many different things that are spiritual activities, but not get any closer to His heart, not get any closer to knowing Him. And I believe someone said that tonight. If we do all those things, Derek, you said it, but we don't know Him, it's meaningless. It's pointless. It is not life-giving. It's religiosity. And so I think we could talk about all the ways that we can improve our spiritual disciplines. And there's definitely information that can help us in that. But I think the thing that I want us to focus on these next 2 weeks is the idea of cultivating intimacy with God. Because we talk about relationship. We talk about how the gospel is about relationship, not religion. But, and I've said this to you guys before, the question for me is, what is the nature of that relationship? And I believe that at the core, that God has called us into intimacy. I believe at the core, Jesus, he said actually central to his mission was that it was to get us to the Father. To restore relationship. He had the ministry of reconciliation. That's restoring of relationship. And so that has to be the heartbeat of everything that we're after in God. It has to be the motivation for all of the disciplines that we pursue. It has to be the motivation for coming to the Word. If it's not, I would argue that will come up empty. We might glean some knowledge and information, but it won't be attached to relationship. It won't bring deepening of intimacy. And so I want to talk about, actually, I don't want to talk about it. Actually, I want to read a passage tonight. As I said, it's going to be a little bit different. I want to read a passage tonight that I believe speaks to this very significant need for intimacy. It's a call from Jesus to us to come close to God. And it's John 15. So if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. And what we're going to do with this is we're going to read it together. actually, don't turn there. Don't turn there. Close your Bibles. Turn your phone off. No. The reason I don't want you to turn there is because we're going to do this a little bit differently. So rather than just read the words, we're going to do something called Lectio Divina. This is a fancy, and I hope I didn't butcher that, but it means divine reading. I don't know if you've heard that term before, but it's a way of approaching the Word. And so there is some instructional nature to this tonight. But it's approaching the Word and reading it in a way that you position yourself to hear from God. You're not coming to the Word primarily to study it. Because, again, if it's about relationship, you don't study a person. You get to know them, and there is a difference. You study a textbook. You don't study a person. And so when we come to the Word, Lectio Divina is this idea of coming to the Word and reading a passage and letting it wash over you. This is my best understanding of it. It's the idea of coming to the Word without an agenda, coming to the Word and saying, God, if it's only one verse, then let it be one verse. And you come to the Word, and you have pen and paper in hand. You have something to record what God speaks, and you come with an expectancy that He wants to speak through the Word, that the Word is living and breathing and active. And you just say, God, speak, and you begin to read. And whereas sometimes we come to the Word, and we might say, okay, I'm going to read this whole chapter, I'm going to read this whole book. The idea is you come without an agenda and you let God, through the Spirit, guide you in that. And if He stops you at one sentence or even one word, but He speaks into it, then that's where you let it be. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to read this passage, John 15. And what I want us to do, I'm going to read it twice. What I want each of you is to just receive it. Let it wash over you. Close your eyes. That's probably a good way to help you focus. And then what we're going to do from there is I'm going to give you a time to respond with God. And what I want to just, I want you to just position your heart to receive from Him what He wants to speak directly to you through this passage. The idea is cultivating intimacy, and sometimes we come and we just get a handout. I believe God wants to speak something, highlight something specific and different to each one of us. I want to say with this as well, we're not going to share this. This is for you. So when you respond and you write, you're not writing it for somebody else. You're writing it for yourself. And believe whatever God speaks, He's going to speak it for you tonight. Okay, so I want to read this. And we're going to read it twice. And then we're going to have just a short time to respond and write out what God's speaking, and I want us to do that individually, and I'll kind of bring us back together at the end of that, okay? Let's read this. Jesus spoke these words. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know what his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so, that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. I'm going to read this one more time. Just let it be fresh in your ears. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. This is my command. Love each other. Spend some time, and even maybe you need to ask God, what are you highlighting? What do you want me to see tonight? What do you want me to hear tonight? And just respond to him in that. Maybe it just starts with writing some things down. We'll come back together in about 7 minutes or so. Just share one more thought and wrap us up in prayer before we go there. And I want to encourage you, if the Lord's been speaking during this time, to maybe pick it back up with him and continue to let him do so. And I want to encourage you guys, this type of time and space is needed in your walk with him. I want to encourage you to make time for it. And perhaps if you have been studying who he is rather than just getting to know him, I want to encourage you to let him make that shift for you. One of the things that really stands out for me in this passage is what Jesus says in verse 4. He says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." And I just, I hear Jesus saying there that life is found in him. He's the source of life for us. And if we don't find ourselves abiding in his presence, then we can't expect life to spring forth from us. We're alive, but we're not until we find ourselves in his presence. Religion is dead activity. Jesus breathes life to that activity. At the end of this passage, he talks about this amazing shift that occurs, and it's actually on the cusp of his journey to the cross. He makes this announcement that there is a new nature to the relationship that they have with him, and through him, the relationship that they have God. He says this announcement, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. In our journey with God, in my journey with God, my prayer is that we would know the difference between doing things for Him and doing things with Him. Jesus says, I've created the possibility of partnership. I've created the possibility of friendship through me. This is the new nature of relationship. And the question is, what's the difference? How do we go from doing things for God and doing things with God? And Jesus says, the difference is knowing the Father's heart. The difference is knowing what He's like. The difference is knowing what He cares about. The difference is being clued in on His plans and His thoughts and His feelings. That's the difference between those two relationships. And Jesus says, He's shared all of that with me, and I'm sharing it with you. You have open invitation to receive the thoughts of God, to receive the heart of God, to receive the character and nature of God. And in fact, that is His expectation and His invitation to you. He's calling you in to know Him so that everything that you do will be with Him. Will be with Him. He doesn't need people to do things for Him, but He wants people to do things with Him. Let's just pray to that end tonight and just thank Him for the way that was made, because none of this is possible without the work of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I thank You that as we start a new year, You're beckoning us deeper. Speaking that there's more to know, there's more to see, there's more to do. And it's in that order. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that we would let You get our priorities to where they should be. Reorient our thinking, reorient our doing. Let it be about being in Your presence. Let it be about receiving from You. Let it be about just enjoying who You are and letting You in to do the same. I just hear You asking the question, are You letting me know You? I just feel like He's asking that question tonight. Have You let me know You? Are You letting me know You? God wants to know You. And I believe sometimes we think because He knows everything, then He knows us. I believe there is an invitation required from us to say, God, come and know Me. I let You in. And I believe He's asking, will You let me know You? The one that made You. Will You let me know You? Jesus, I thank You that when You went to the cross, that was the prize. That was the joy set before You. It was humanity coming to know You. Humanity coming to know the Father. Entering into fellowship. Entering into restored union and relationship. Entering into the possibility of abiding, remaining in Your presence, and entering boldly into that. So tonight we come to the table, we come to receive Your body broken, what it cost You for that relationship to be made available. And we come tonight, we don't come lightly to the table to receive, but we come with deep gratitude, God. Lord, we ask that in the coming days, Lord, we would let you in. We praise you for your sacrifice. And we come to receive.